It is Tuesday, June 16th. I'm Sam Cedar.
And I'm Lucy Steiner. Which one of these stories will you be talking about today?
In a stunning 6-3 decision led by a conservative justice, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the 1964 Civil Rights Act protects gay and transgender people from workplace discrimination. Meanwhile, new audio obtained by the New York Times shows that Vice President Mike Pence urged state governors to repeat a BS claim about coronavirus infection rates in order to make the White House's complete failure look a little less bad. And lastly, a new report by The Intercept shows that Elliot Engel, the dinosaur congressman from New York's 16th district, has been taking dark money from a GOP-linked group.
You're listening to Majority.fm's AM Quickie, and these are the stories you need to know.
The Supreme Court ruled on a historic set of cases on Monday that firing an employee for being gay, lesbian, or transgender violates the 1964 Civil Rights Act. Court took into account two lawsuits over discrimination of gay men and the case of Amy Stevens, a transgender woman who was fired from her job after she came out to her employer. Stevens died in May, but her estate continued the case. The decision was shocking, as Trump's two Supreme Court picks had basically locked in the majority of the court to the conservative side. But both Chief Justice John Roberts and Neil Gorsuch voted with the more liberal members of the court, leaving only Alito, Clarence Thomas, and of course Brett Kavanaugh to dissent. Gorsuch, who was Trump's first appointment, wrote the majority's opinion. But as we mentioned in yesterday's quickie, this doesn't mean trans rights are safe from the Trump administration. Last week, the administration made a rule change that severely endangered trans rights in respect to discrimination suits connected to health care. The Trump administration has made it very clear where it stands on trans issues, and the three conservative judges who dissented also made it clear which side they're on. If you want an example, look no further than the court's other major decision yesterday to not hear any cases on the doctrine of qualified immunity, which has served to protect police officers from facing consequences for mistakes they made on the job. Gorsuch and Roberts sided with liberals on the equal rights decision, but if their votes are what the greater struggle for progress relies on in the future, we're still in a very, very shaky place. Meanwhile, the liars in Trump's inner circle just can't stop. According to audio obtained by the New York Times, Vice President Mike Pence personally encouraged state governors to spread a debunked claim about the relationship between widespread testing and coronavirus infection rates. The claim is basically that upticks in infection rates are just a result of us discovering more cases through testing and don't represent the virus actually resurging. But experts have found that the rate of cases is increasing faster than the increase in testing. Pence, or whoever writes his talking points, surely knew this, but they pushed it on governors anyway, asking them to, quote, encourage people with the news that we're safely reopening the country, end quote. Pence minimized all this, of course, because human life clearly doesn't matter when the big, strong president's optics are concerned. This is what the administration's response has always been, claiming that everything was fine, they were doing great, when things were clearly proven to not be fine, and eventually just claiming that the whole crisis is over and we won. None of these things are true, of course. The virus is rising in 22 states, and we have a long road ahead, even in places where the curve has been flattened out. But it's helpful to have concrete examples of how far the Trump administration is willing to go to preserve its image.
Majority.fm's AM Quickie is fueled by JustCoffee.coop. Just Coffee is a worker-owned coffee roaster based in Madison, Wisconsin that has sponsored the Majority Report for nearly a decade. Check out their collection of fair trade roasts, including our own Majority Report blend. And regardless of what you order, receive 10% off your order when you use the code MAJORITY at checkout. And all shipping is free. That's coupon code MAJORITY at JustCoffee.coop.
New York Representative Elliot Engel, the current head of House Foreign Affairs Committee, is in deep trouble in his primary for re-election. And a new report by The Intercept shows he's willing to accept pretty much any help he can get to win, even if it comes from the Republicans. Engel represents New York's 16th district, which is safely blue, but his primary opponent is a young, energized middle school principal named Jamal Bowman. Bowman has recently picked up a number of high-profile endorsements, including AOC, Bernie Sanders, and the New York Times. Engel, meanwhile, got Hillary Clinton's endorsement on Monday, and other establishment Democrat figures are circling the wagons around him. According to a new report by The Intercept, Engel's campaign is benefiting from a weird dark money chain by a GOP-linked super PAC. The group, called Americans for Tomorrow's Future, isn't spending directly on his campaign, probably because it also funnels money to overwhelmingly Republican causes, including Mitch McConnell's re-election campaign. Instead, Americans for Tomorrow Future gave $100,000 to another super PAC, Democratic Majority for Israel, which is in turn doing attack ads on Bowman. Pretty shady stuff, if you ask me. The GOP is this interested in making sure Engel keeps his seat. Maybe he's not the best representative for the so-called opposition party. That's just a thought. You can search for Jamal Bowman's interview on the Majority Report from several months ago. Just look up Majority Report Jamal Bowman on YouTube.
And now for some quicker quickies.
Quicker quickie.
A man shot a protester at a demonstration in Albuquerque, New Mexico on Monday night, following a confrontation in which protesters attempted to tear down a racist monument to a Spanish conquistador and were opposed by an armed far-right militia. Police responded to the scene and arrested members of the militia and then faced off with protesters instead of taking their statements as to the shooting. It's unclear if the shooter was a member of the militia, but this is sure to be a big story today. Keep an eye out for more details as they come. The New York Police Department is eliminating the massive force of plainclothes police officers that make up the force's anti-crime teams, which have been responsible for numerous shootings and accusations of excessive force over the years. The officers aren't getting fired, of course, just reassigned, so it remains to be seen how much of a real reform this actually is. After making a big splashy statement by painting Black Lives Matter on 16th Street, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser has decided that, well, that's as far as she's going to go. In an interview with NPR on Monday, she said she was still committed to her original budget, which proposes a 3.3% increase in the Washington, D.C.'s police funding. North Korea is making a ruckus again, threatening to send troops into the demilitarized zone with South Korea if defectors don't stop sending leaflets over the border. Early on Tuesday morning, South Korean authorities reported that the North had gone a step further, blowing up the joint liaison building where the two countries had previously negotiated.
Quicker! Quickie!
That's it, folks. Thanks for listening to the Majority.fm's AM Quickie. Sam?
That's right. We'll be live on the Majority Report today at noon, talking more about that 1964 Civil Rights Act and, of course, other stories. You can find us live at noon or later as a podcast.